This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Summer in March. Is it a preview of global warming? Our guest has a PhD in physics from MIT. He was a top advisor for energy efficiency and renewables in the Clinton administration. Joe Rome is author of the book Hell and High Water, but many of us know him as the world's best climate blogger over at thinkprogress.org. Joe, welcome back to Radio EcoShock.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's so good to have your advice. You know, the recent March heat wave in North America and it was even in Britain, it's hard to find words. How would you describe it?
Well, I think it is, as one meteorologist said, a really unprecedented event in all of U.S. weather history since records began almost 130 years ago. I don't think there's been anything like it. There's certainly never been a heat wave like it. You know, I will say it bears the hallmarks of what scientists have been saying global warming would do, because it was very broad. It covered a very large fraction of the United States. It was very long-lasting. It wasn't just a day or two, and it appears to have broken 7,000 high-temperature records over a period of about 10 days. And it didn't just break records, but, I mean, it just blew them away, and we can go through some of those.
Well, the National Weather Service office in Chicago called the heat spell historic, but then said, quote, it's unlikely to be matched in our lifetime. And I thought, well, that's way off base. In the coming decades, this might be exactly what we see again and again. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's surprising. There's no question that the planet is warming and that humans are the primary cause. And there was a major analysis by the National Center for Atmospheric Research which said that if we weren't warming the planet on a given day or week or month or year, you would expect new heat records and new cold records to be the same. The ratio of them would be 1 to 1. In the last decade, heat records outnumbered cold records by 2 to 1. This heat wave, it was 35 to 1. I mean, really quite off the charts. And for the year to date, it was a 20 to 1, 20 new heat records for every cold record. And that is, in fact, the average that's expected under global warming scenarios in about 3 or 4 decades. So this kind of heat wave is going to become, I think, pretty much the norm over the next few decades. And ultimately, in the second half of the century, which my 5-year-old daughter, you know, hopefully will live to see, this will be unremarkable and things will be considerably worse. And the last point I'd make is, you know, spring heat waves are not the ones that are devastating. It is the summer heat waves, obviously, because then you're building the temperatures on top of already hot temperatures. And, of course, last summer we saw the brutal heat on top of drought set the all-time record for the hottest summer for any state in both Texas and Oklahoma, blowing out the record that had been set during the Dust Bowl era by over 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit. So, you know, I just think there's no question that we're going to see more and more of this, and it's unfortunately going to be pretty serious for a lot of people.
Yes, and I just read that the lost agricultural products, the cost of that has been raised from $5 billion to over $7 billion. Do you think this year's unusual burst of spring heat could affect crops or gardens?
Well, here in Washington, D.C., we've had the cherry blossoms bloom early, and you know, blooming early would be a risk to plants, obviously, if there was going to be a cold snap. It doesn't look like there's a cold snap in the forecast, but what it has done is set up wildfire conditions all across the country, and you know, pretty much in over a dozen states, we're already seeing a wildfire season kick in. So the head of the Forest Service said last year that global warming was extending the wildfire season, and that's what his scientists have said it was due to global warming. I think it's kind of obvious that when it gets warmer, that evaporates moisture, and dry areas get drier, and that is what creates the conditions for wildfires. And, you know, as I'm sure you know, there are some pretty serious drought conditions in a lot of places across the country, from the southeast all the way over to the west.
Well, you raised the big question that many of us are asking ourselves. Was this March heat wave caused by global warming? What are you hearing from the experts?
Well, you know, we've had Stu Ostro, who is the Weather Channel meteorologist, you know, he said that he didn't think there was any question that global warming was playing a role here. I mean, I want to be clear here that what causes the kinds of once in several hundred year extreme events like we're seeing now are a combination of the natural variability and then global warming on top of it. The analogy that people have used is it's like a baseball player on steroids. And so, you know, they start hitting further home runs and more home runs because they're now getting just over balls that were being caught in the outfield now get over the fence. So the global warming shifts the extremes and makes these kind of extreme events far more probable. We are going to have to wait for an official analysis, which I'm sure we will get over the course of this year, as to, you know, how much global warming increased the probability of this event. But I will say that Weather Channel meteorologist Ostro said that while natural factors are contributing to this warm spell, given the nature of it and the context and the other extreme events and patterns in recent years, quote, there is a high probability that global warming is having an influence upon its extremity. And this was the same point that meteorologist Dr. Jeff Masters of the Weather Underground made. It is highly unlikely the warmth of the current summer and March heat wave could have occurred unless the climate was warming. So, and Kevin Trenberth, one of the country's top climatologists, has a study, which I'm now going to post shortly, on climate progress, a paper in which he basically says that global warming has simply is now influencing and affecting all weather because it is heating up the planet and putting more water vapor into the air, and that is creating more intense heat waves and more intense deluges and deeper and worse droughts. So, you know, I think there's no question that this is the kind of heat wave people have expected and that it's far less likely that anything like this would have happened without global warming.
This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith, and our guest is leading climate blogger Joe Rome, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. Joe, we all have news images that stick in our minds. For me, it was a farmer in the wheat belt looking over a bare field that should have been several feet deep with snow. He worried it would be too dry to plant wheat this year. Was there something that really hit home with you?
Well, I think for me, it was a couple of different things. I think these records, you know, when I started seeing that there were multiple places during this heat wave where the lowest temperature that occurred that day was higher than the all-time high that that place had ever seen. It never got cooler than the all-time high. I mean, that is just unbelievable. There were, you know, in Canada, there were cities that broke their April all-time record for warmth in March. That was one of the unprecedented nature of these records. The other thing for me, and I have written a lot about this, is the droughts, as you mentioned. It is through droughts that most people are going to experience global warming, because it is a very basic prediction of global warming. The hotter it gets, the more evaporation you get, and drier areas are going to get drier. There's also another prediction of global warming that certain areas are just going to see a shift in precipitation. So you'll actually get less precipitation and more evaporation. And we're starting to see that. We're seeing it in a measured way around the Mediterranean, but also now we're starting to see it in the Southwest. And these droughts are very consequential. They are devastating to farmers and to crops. And it's why food prices have been hovering near record levels for over a year now. And as you said, the Texas agronomists have upped the cost to farmers of their recent devastating drought to $7.6 billion. And one of the leading experts in Texas, a member of the Texas Governor's Drought Preparedness Council, said no one alive has seen single-year drought damage to this extent. And 2011 was the driest year on record. And so this is going to become the norm, unfortunately, in the coming decades, and people need to plan accordingly. And indeed, you know, part of the reason I write as much as I do is so people can plan and know what's coming, and their families can make decisions, and their children can make decisions, because this is not... Global warming has been portrayed in the media, and especially by the, you know, disinformation campaign, as something that's very far away in time and is mostly going to affect, you know, poor people in Africa. And the fact is, global warming is here and now, and it is affecting Americans, and it is affecting our agricultural system. And I mean, the world developed its agricultural system to support 7 billion people during a period where climate had been quite stable for 10 or 11,000 years within a very narrow temperature band. And people made choices about where to live based on, you know, amount of rainfall and arable land and sea levels. And that's all going to change this century. And quite literally, billions of people are living in places that by the middle of this century are going to be completely untenable in terms of their ability to support agriculture and in terms of sea level rise and other warming impacts are going to evolve, and people need to start planning now.
But, Joe, people like going to the beach much more than they like to have a March blizzard. At first, millions of us are going to love global warming. I wonder if that's going to slow down action to save this livable world.
Well, like I said, I think heat waves in the late winter are not the most serious consequence of global warming. It does have impacts on people. Because of the wildfire season, the allergy season, I'm sure you know people who, at least down here in the States, the allergy season has kicked in with a vengeance. Up in your neck of the woods, I think the bark beetle, you know, there's a new study that came out that the bark beetle, I had thought, and a lot of people have thought, that the bark beetle was proliferating because the winters weren't cold enough to kill off the larvae. And that's part of it. But it's also the case that because it's warmer year-round, they're now able to have two mating cycles. So you have this effect where you have less winter death, but now more reproduction the other times of year. So, you know, you're certainly right. I mean, I think right now global warming is only beginning to poke through the beast that we are waking up, is just starting to see glimmers of him. And as I'm sure you know and have reported on, you know, we've only warmed a degree and a half Fahrenheit in the last half century. We're going to warm five times that this century if we keep on our current path of doing nothing to reduce heat-trapping carbon pollution from coal, oil, and natural gas. So it's going to get considerably, the impacts are going to grow and grow and grow. And like I said, it is not so much the winter heat waves you need to worry about, although they do have impacts. It is stuff that hits in the late spring and summer, but also the fall. And I, you know, as I'm sure you know, many states, many provinces, many countries count on the fall and early winter for the precipitation that they're going to use when it's drier in the spring and summertime. And this season had a record low snow cover. And record low snow cover is good in one sense because you don't get the floods. But it's bad in another sense, which is that you don't have the reservoir of frozen water that lots of Western places and other places rely on to humidify and the streams for water, for irrigation, and other forms of water use.
Well, Joe Rome, I feel like a kind of climate quake has just happened in North America and Britain. I'm hoping this will get people talking about it at least around their dinner tables. Is that your feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I think this weather has been so extreme. You know, ABC News ran two stories. I'm not saying all the media coverage is great. NBC ran a story, didn't mention global warming, but ABC ran two stories that I think got the science right. And I've seen a lot more articles cropping up in places like the Columbus, Ohio. Someone, a biologist, wrote an op-ed, "Anyone Still Doubt Climate Change?" Saw an article in a Wisconsin newspaper. So I think there's no question that the extreme events that we have been seeing over the past two or three years, the droughts, the wildfires, the deluges, have indeed, people have noticed and are now talking about global warming more than they were a year or two ago.
Yeah, a national Canadian magazine has a cover titled The Year That Winter Died. Well, as we wrap up, do you have any new stories you want to tell us about or things we should watch for?
So much of what we grew up and expected, whether it's skating outdoors. You mentioned beaches. By the middle of the century, a lot of beaches are pretty, they're going to be gone. So it's just this way of life that we have taken for granted. A lot of it's going to start to change noticeably in the coming decades.
Well, yeah, here's one for you. The Inuit, the people of the very far north of Canada, have to add a new word to their vocabulary, and that word is for wasps. They'd never seen them before, and now they're seeing them, so good luck. Everything changes. You've been listening to one of my favorite sources, Dr. Joe Rome, alternative energy expert and now the premier climate blogger. Google Climate Progress or find him at thinkprogress.org and drag that site to your toolbar, as I did. Joe, thank you so much for sharing your valuable time with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.